Welcome to Managing Safety, brought to you by the FAA Production Studios, a joint effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and the FAA Safety Team, the FAST Team. This talk show addresses strategies for thinking in today's complex aviation world. Now, here's Dave Shellbetter, manager of Sun and Fun Radio in Lakeland, Florida, who is today's host.
This is Dave with Sun and Fun Radio. Today I'm on special assignment for the Managing Safety Radio Show. One of the things we're getting to see more and more and hear more and more about is helicopters. Today's show is about helicopters and the women who fly them. That's right, the women who fly helicopters. We're seeing a lot more women in aviation gravitating towards helicopters. I'm joined this morning by Miss Linda Meeks, pilot, CFI, helicopter pilot, and founder of GirlsWithWings.com, an organization that's geared towards young girls and getting them involved in aviation. We're going to ask some questions today of Pam Landis, who's the Vice President and Chief Flight Instructor of Ocean Helicopters, based out of West Palm Beach, Florida. Hello, ladies. How are we doing today?
Good morning, Dave. How are you doing?
Good morning, Dave. Thank you so much for having us.
I'm doing great, Linda. And Pam, thank you for taking time out of your hectic schedule to join us. Now, let's start with, who is Pam? You're a Florida girl, your bio says. Tell me a little bit about your background.
I am. I'm a Florida girl. Live here in South Florida. Well, I was born and raised in Gainesville in North Florida and have been here in South Florida for 27 years and started flying back in 1991 at a flight school that was in Pompano. And went through and did my ratings, became a flight instructor, worked for the company, and then decided I really like doing this. I think I'll keep on as a flight instructor and open up my own flight school and have pretty much been in the flight training industry and doing some commercial work ever since.
Great. Now, Linda, you're a helicopter pilot. What got you flying helicopters?
Actually, my road to becoming a pilot is kind of an interesting one in the sense that I had no desire to be a pilot until I was already in the Army. And the Army aviation branch was presented to me as a challenge. It was supposed to be the toughest thing to do. And so when you tell me something like that, that's exactly what I want to do. So I really became a helicopter pilot as a fluke, but enjoyed every minute of it and miss it greatly. And in fact, I'm trying to become a helicopter instructor at this time. So Pam, if you're hiring, call me. No.
You got it.
Well, that leads to another question. What does it take to become a helicopter CFI, Pam?
Well, to become a helicopter CFI, basically, you do need to have a commercial helicopter rating, go through your CFI and preferably your CFII training. There's really no set required hours to become a flight instructor, but we do recommend, most people do around 20 hours to get their flight instructor and then another 5 to 10 hours to get their CFII. And to be able to teach, like we operate the R-22s and R-44s, you have to have 200 hours total time, 50 hours in either of the aircraft to be able to teach. Now, in our Schweitzers, you don't have to have that, but in the Robinsons, the minimum hours are 200 hours to teach.
Mm-hmm. Now, is that a requirement of your company or a FAA regulation?
That is part of the FAA regulations and the SFAR 73 for the Robinson helicopters, a special regulation that was put out on the Robinson helicopters due to some inherent issues that the aircraft have. So they just want to make sure that the flight instructors are well trained in the aircraft so that they understand some of these issues. So, yeah, they put on the 200 hour minimum.
That's something that I actually found very interesting. I actually have 5,000 hours total time, but only 414 in the helicopter. And so now that I've become a CFI and I'm actually looking to become a CFII, I started calling around to see what the need for helicopter CFIs were. And basically, the owner of the flight school that I did talk to, it was very interesting because despite having time in the Huey, that's all of my time is in a turbine helicopter, he said that it was a lot harder for people to transition to a lighter helicopter without the governor. In fact, he said that a lot of his ex-Army helicopter pilots ended up quitting training because they got so frustrated because it requires so much more finesse to fly a Schweitzer helicopter.
Well, now that leads to a good question. Why are you and many ladies seeming to gravitate towards flying a helicopter? Is it the challenge, the mastering of a machine? What drew you to flying a helicopter, Pam?
You know, I, as a young lady, I went for a ride in a helicopter, and that was what started me. I just thought that they were such incredible aircraft and just something so different, and they seemed like such the challenge. So that's what actually made me gravitate towards them. I lived near Patrick Air Force Base for a number of my younger years, and I saw the airplanes going over, but it always seemed like every time you heard that sound of a helicopter coming over, it would just drew me outside to say, wow, look at that. That is just such an incredible piece of machinery. And just always had the fascination with them and love being able to fly them. I definitely think women, we have a special touch when it comes to helicopters because it is such a finesse aircraft. And I think the women do make really good pilots.
I wanted to ask Pam, are most of her students airplane pilots that transition to helicopters or people that start out in the helicopters?
We're actually very fortunate. Most of our students are ones that start out with helicopters. We have a very large draw from overseas, so most of these people are ones that come here to specifically learn how to do helicopter training. I do have a few that are doing add-ons, but majority of our students, I'd say they're going straight helicopter.
But that actually makes it easier to learn to fly because you don't have to overcome the knowledge of this is how an airplane flies and transition to helicopters don't fly the same, right?
Yeah, it really is. There's inherent issues that we have with fixed wing pilots that we really do have to break certain habits. So when they come with a clean slate, it just makes it so much easier. And I believe that their training becomes more fluid than if we're having to stop and break habits and things like that from the fixed wing world.
So you're better off to start out with the helicopters. Now, when you take a brand new student, do you go for the R-22, the R-44? Other than being a four-place versus a two, is there a lot of handling differences between the two aircraft? Is it easier to fly one or the other?
Well, the R-44 is definitely a much more stable aircraft because of weight. The R-22, the old saying is if you can fly an R-22, you can fly anything because they are a little more squirrely. They do move around a lot more. They're just a very light aircraft. So the majority of the time start everybody off on the R-22. If somebody is going to continue their training to become flight instructors, we want them to do the majority of their training in the R-22. So when they do go out into the CFI world, they are hireable. You know, we will have them do maybe like their commercial license in the R-44. So they build up those hours also so that they can go to a tour company and fly R-44s. But we try and start everybody out in the R-22, or weight dependent, we may have to move them into the Schweitzers.
Now, Linda, you had mentioned earlier that you were looking to become a helicopter CFI.
Yes.
Maybe you and Pam can discuss a little bit more about costs and availability for people.
Yes, I was actually looking into possibly getting one of the Whirly Girls scholarship. I'm sure you're aware of the Whirly Girls, right, Pam?
Yes, I am. I'm a member, a proud member.
Yeah, yep, great. I found 500 hours, a little bit high, especially since usually hourly rentals of helicopters are quite pricey. Walk me through flight time and costs and everything.
Flight time, if you're starting out at the very beginning, obviously the private pilot license, the minimum is 40 hours. We tell everybody the national average to get your private pilot's license in helicopters, somewhere around the 55-hour mark. So we base all of our packages on 60 hours, kind of worst-case scenario. So when you get to that 55 hours, you're not saying, oh my gosh, I'm out of money, I can't go any further. And then we move our students into the instrument rating. Seeing how at 150 hours is where you can get your commercial license, you get your private at 60, you've got a lot of hours to build up, and it is very expensive flying helicopters. So we tell people on your step, go ahead and get your instrument rating, build that time doing something productive instead of just burning holes in the sky. And so get your instrument rating, that's about 50 hours. You know, minimum again is 40 for the FAA, but by the time you take off, land, you know, we have to take a 0.123 off for each flight. Yeah, about 50 hours. You're now at somewhere around the 110 hours. Do the last 40 for your commercial. Move into your CFI and CFII. To go all the way through the whole program, you're looking probably somewhere in the range of $56,000 to $60,000 to do strictly helicopters and to get you up to 200 hours, get your sign-off in the R-44, and get all your time in the R-22.
Now that is, you're saying, from the word go, being that Linda already has over 400 hours in helicopters. Linda, how many of your hours are in, do you say those are mostly in Hueys or all in Hueys?
All in Hueys, yeah.
You already know how to fly a helicopter. You'd need more of a check ride in the 22.
Yeah, theoretically. But like I said, apparently there's a big difference between flying a Huey and a Schweitzer. And I would probably use it for instructing. But I know that there are a lot of other flying jobs available for helicopter pilots. Maybe, Pam, you could talk about other options.
Sure. There's a lot of different options right there now. We've got tour companies that are always contacting us for pilots. We've just actually had three of our instructors hired by a company over in Africa flying offshore oil companies. There's the Gulf of Mexico. As people build their hours, those are kind of the first stepping stone jobs that most of our pilots have. Once they build up some hours and pass that, then they go into different types of utility work where we have a company that's here actually from up north. They're here doing power line patrol, where they're doing all sorts of repairs on power lines. There's the long line or logging companies. There's emergency services. And one of the other new stepping stones are aerial photography. There's so many companies out there now that are doing aerial photography. So when an instructor builds up their hours, goes out into the real world, the first job that they're looking at is going to be that tour, the offshore, the aerial photography work. And then as they build hours, moving into the more skilled jobs.
Well, and a local girl that flies and makes her living flying is our Channel 5's Captain Julie, flies our local traffic helicopter.
Yes, Julie and I actually started our training together. We did all of our training in Pompano, and the company that we were with actually had the initial contract with the TV station. So her and I actually had shared some responsibilities early on, and then they hired her on full time. So yeah, she's a great lady, great pilot, great job. She does an excellent job for all of us that travel the roads of South Florida every day.
Yeah, I appreciate having Captain Julie out there when I've got somewhere to be. So, Captain Julie, if you're listening, thank you very much. We sure appreciate your being there. Let me shift gears a little bit here. You mentioned earlier that you have a lot of people come from overseas. Now, did you say to get their instructor's rating or their helicopter rating and then transition to instructor?
Most of our students that come from overseas basically will come just to do private instrument commercial, because once they're here, if they get their CFI, they actually can't work in the States without some type of visa or sponsorship, and that's pretty difficult to do these days. So they basically come here for their private instrument commercial, go back overseas, and then do a conversion over to it be the JAA licensing or the CASA or the CAA, depending on their home country. For students to come here, they get a little bit different experience, because in the European countries, they can't fly night unless they have a special night rating, or they can't fly below 1,500 feet. And those are all things that we do very different than the European countries. So they come here, they do their training, and then they're able to go back home and convert their license, and it saves them quite a bit of money.
And I'm sure a big part of that saving money is the actual cost of the helicopter. In a previous discussion, you and I had talked about what the helicopters run per hour. What's it cost to rent an R-22 by the hour?
Our R-22s with an instructor is $265 right now. In Europe, they're about $540 per hour.
So they're paying twice as much for training over there. So they can actually travel over here, stay here and get their training, and go home and have a rating for less than it would have cost them in their home country.
Correct.
Is there a particular country that you seem to get a majority of the students from?
Well, right now we have students from the UK, Egypt, Africa, Australia, Denmark, Brazil. So we're pretty worldwide. The majority of our students have come from the UK over the past years, but the trend is starting to change right now. I'm seeing more and more coming from Australia, South America. South America right now is just exploding with helicopter traffic. I'm seeing so many aircraft getting sold to South America, and their need for pilots is just on such an increase. So we are getting a lot more people from South America, Nigeria, because that's a big oil industry over there. So we get a lot of people from there. Egypt also, another big oil industry. So we're getting a lot of people from there. They're all hearing about the need for helicopter pilots. So they're coming here doing their training. And most of the companies overseas will accept the U.S. license if they're flying from a company's platform to company's platform to their home location. So they don't have to do conversions necessarily to another country's license.
All right. Now, Pam, again, you're the vice president and chief flight instructor of the FAA-approved 141 flight school at Ocean Helicopters. And you're based in West Palm, but you also have another location that sounds pretty interesting.
Yes, we do. My business partner is Dave Harmon, who actually was the founder of Ocean Helicopters. And a number of years ago, we had decided that there was a real need in the islands for helicopter work and just helicopters in general. So we have opened up an office after jumping through a lot of hoops and working really hard with the Bahamian government. We are now in Nassau, Bahamas. We have a tour operation over there, commercial operation. We do a lot of work for the government over there, moving people around. We just had a couple hurricanes come fairly close where we did some evacuations. We do a lot of work in the islands, a lot of photography. There's always music videos or some type of movie or something being shot in the islands. So we work all through the Bahamian chain of islands.
Linda, do you have any questions you'd like to ask?
I do have a question for Pam, and that is, I was wondering how you go out and try to recruit specifically helicopter pilots and what you find is most effective to say to them to encourage them to get their license and what are their questions and concerns about flying helicopters, especially since it's seen as so dangerous to fly a helicopter.
Great question. We do a lot of marketing. I try and get, obviously, Ocean Helicopters out there in front of people as much as I possibly can, you know, through so many different social medias. Got, obviously, some very specific websites for helicopter companies and for forums and things like that. I try to get out there, use the other social medias, the Facebook, the Hangar Chat. There's just so many different places that we try and put ourselves out there. It's funny because the first question I get from a lot of people, oh, I don't have to have an airplane license to be able to fly helicopters. I say, no, you can go right to helicopters. And they're like, really? Gosh, I didn't think I could do that. So no, I said, you go through it just the same as if you were getting an airplane license. And I said, but we have so much more fun and the view is so much better. We're always looking to try and explain to people how much fun they can have as a helicopter pilot. And the training is exactly the same as an airplane pilot. The inherent dangers that everybody hears about, oh, the helicopter falls like a rock or whatever. It's just because they don't have the knowledge or they haven't been educated on helicopters. You know, as you look at our website, we try and really show everybody that helicopters are safe. We will train you for every possibility that we can think of and try and encourage people to come out and do a demo flight first. Come out and see how different it is from an airplane. I take people out that have done maybe an airplane demonstration flight and then they get in a helicopter and it's, wow, I didn't know I could see so much, or it feels so different than an airplane. I don't feel as much movement. So we really do try and encourage people to come out and do a demo flight. Just go out for a half an hour and take the controls and have some fun.
What is the cost to go on a demo flight?
About $140. That's a half an hour flight time where they actually get to go out and fly the aircraft. We take them out to our shoreline or our beach line and let them fly up and down the beach. They get a chance to obviously do some sightseeing. They get a chance to go out and do some straight and level flying, a little bit of power changes. They get to see the ocean. We usually have some great sea life out there that they get to see. We fly over some really beautiful areas. We get to show them, you know, Tiger Woods' home, Celine Dion's home. So it's a lot of fun. They get a little bit of learning how to fly, but they also get a little bit of sightseeing at the same time.
Linda, anything else you'd like to ask?
I guess also big picture stuff, and I know I could look at the statistics online, but maybe have a little bit more insight into this. If somebody is going to pay $50,000 to $60,000 to get their helicopter ratings. You talked about some of the jobs that they could have. Are those jobs being filled? Are the supply and the demand pretty much equal? And then I also wanted to ask, do you know what the ratio of men to women helicopter pilots is? I know it's 6% for pilot license in general, but I don't know what the percentage of women helicopter pilots is.
Wow, that's a really good question. I don't know it either. Obviously, very minimal. At any one time, I may have, like right now, I've got, say, 18 full-time students. I have one woman. We can go for a year and not have another female pilot train. I don't know what the statistics are. It would be some interesting numbers to look at. The job market out there right now, obviously with the economic crunch that we've all been going through for the last couple of years, it really did affect the pilot jobs out there. People were hanging on to the jobs that they had and not moving on. But over the last really about 6 months, we are seeing a major change in the job market for helicopter pilots. We're seeing where the oil industry is obviously growing. So that's where most of our pilots are going. We fly from a home base to a offshore rig, and that's moving people around, any of the employees from the oil rigs. That's probably our number one market for jobs out there right now. The Gulf of Mexico, offshore of Nigeria, South America, just booming with oil jobs. And then getting into the tour companies. Tour companies are always looking for pilots. The pilots do 2 weeks on, 2 weeks off type of work. So they're always looking for pilots there. So the job market is pretty strong for helicopter pilots right now and growing even more so. The three instructors that I had that just left and went to an oil company in Africa, they basically work 30 days on, 30 days off. So they're working 6 months a year and they're making around $100,000 a year. That's a good paycheck for a 6 months job. As flight instructors, when they're here and they're training, they are still getting paid. They're making a living. They're making $2,500, $3,000 a month. So they're still able to make a living to pay their bills, pay back school loans, things like that. So the job market and the income is growing and the helicopter jobs are just booming right now.
You actually touched on something that I wanted to ask about. We were talking the cost of zero time, starting from scratch to getting your CFII in a helicopter runs in the $55,000 to $60,000 range. Are there financing options out there? Are there student loan type monies available, or do I have to have 60 grand in the bank before I can start my training?
Well, Dave, that's a really good question. And one of the things I tell all my students, one, we don't like a big lump sum of money up front. We want our students to be in control of it because things happen in life and it's easier if they're in control of their money. But on the loan issue, we had Sallie Mae financing for many years. And then Sallie Mae actually has pulled out of the flight training industry because the economic crisis came along and it really hurt them as much as it did everybody. So they pulled out of the flight training funding, but they still do fund through colleges. And like our local college here, Palm Beach State College, has an aeronautical sciences program where you can actually get your professional pilot's training while you get a 2-year degree. And you can do your financing then through Sallie Mae. There's also the veterans right now. They have so many benefits for our veterans to do flight training or to do any type of schooling. So a lot of our students are using their VA benefits. If they're post 9/11, the benefits are even better. I'm so proud to see our country doing something for our vets. They deserve it. They've worked hard. They protected us. And so now we're giving back to them, which is a wonderful thing. The financing, though, to do something on your own, you'd have to just take out a personal loan. Can be very difficult, especially if they hear you saying you're doing flight training. A lot of the banks will run fast. So really the best type of financing right now is going through a college, getting a 2-year degree, and getting your license at the same time. A lot of parents are still out there funding their kids. They'll take out a home equity loan and help fund their flight training. But I try and tell everybody, you don't have to finance it. You can kind of pay as you go. If you're doing it full-time, it's a little tougher. But if you're doing it a little bit more on a part-time basis, it's a little bit more affordable. You can be working and putting money away for your flight training.
Well, now that's another good question. If you're doing it full time, from zero to completion of a CFII, what kind of a time frame are we looking at?
All the way from what we say zero to hero, zero to 200 hours, we can get you done in anywhere between 8 to 10 months if you're on a full-time schedule. Part-time, it really depends on each individual and what their schedule is going to be and their own abilities. I try and tell everybody, we can get you all the way through, we can teach you what you need, but it is really dependent on your own abilities to be a pilot.
And of course, your own drive to get your training finished. Now I'm going to step back a little bit and clarify something we said earlier. You said that some of your instructors have recently took jobs overseas and they're making in the $100,000 a year range. That's as a commercial pilot, not an instructor, correct?
Correct. Yes, these guys are all flying larger aircraft. They're on basically a charter certificate. So they're moving people from the home base of the oil company out to the oil rigs. So they're doing 135 operations.
And along those same lines, when somebody says, oh, flying to the oil rig, I immediately fall back on this perception I have that that is dangerous flying. Is that true?
It really is dangerous flying. Anytime you're over water, obviously there's issues that way. They are carrying crews. There's always the commercial pressures that are put on them. We got to get you from point A to point B. You got to be on time. You've got to carry this many people. So it is a very difficult job. One of the things that I try to always tell any of my students that are going through their commercial training is know your limits, know your personal minimums, and don't ever let anybody change those. If somebody's going to change it, it's got to be you, and you've got to be responsible for the consequences. So yes, it can be dangerous. Most of the companies will use twin engine aircraft to fly out to these oil rigs and things so that if they do have an engine issue, obviously they've got a backup. So it can be a little dangerous, but they do train them. They go through all their emergency procedures, their water procedures, things like that. Unfortunately, helicopters, you know, they're great aircraft. We train people to be very safe in them. Things do happen. We have a lot of moving parts.
You mentioned twin engine helicopters. For a fixed wing pilot, you can get your rating in a single engine and then you go to multi-engine. Is there additional training or just check rides involved in transitioning from, say, an R-22 with a single engine to something bigger? You mentioned double engine helicopters.
Yeah, and Linda probably knows a lot about this too, flying the Hueys. When you go from a single engine piston helicopter and want to go into a turbine engine, just a single turbine engine, there's what we call a turbine transition. Every company requires different types of hours. Just the basic turbine transition is 5 to 10 hours, where we teach people how to do the startup, the shutdown, go through maneuvers. It's a very basic transition. When most guys or girls will go off to the companies, the oil rigs or whatever, then they will actually train them in the specific aircraft that they will be flying. They'll either send them to flight safety and get them in the simulators first and then get them into the actual aircraft. Really, a lot of it is insurance dependent and company dependent on the hours that they want them to have. For me, if I were, say, to go fly offshore and they're flying a single turbine engine, I would probably do 5 hours here at Ocean Helicopters to get familiar with it and then go to the company, and then they'll put you through usually about 50 hours of training. For the multi-engine, a lot of times it's a lot more than that. They'll put you in the single engine turbine for a period of time, let you get used to flying that, and then move you into the twin engine.
So it's more type rating than, again, back to the fixed wing, single engine, multi-engine rating. You're more learning the specific aircraft. That's not an additional endorsement, or do you get a check ride in the aircraft when you're done?
Well, as helicopter pilots, when we get even a private pilot's license, it's good up to 12,500 pounds. So you can pretty much fly anything up to that 12,500 pounds. Once you get over that, then you have to go into your type ratings.
Ladies, I want to thank you very much. Anything we want to add here? We're coming near the end of our allotted time.
It's been a pleasure to meet both of you. And Linda, I hope I get to see you. Love to get a chance to fly with you and go out and enjoy some of South Florida's scenic areas. So if you're ever down this way, please come see me.
Well, given that I'm from Cleveland, Ohio, you might just actually tempt me into it about January, say?
I bet. When the snow is taller than we are, yes.
Exactly.
Of course, there is another option there. It's called...
What's that?
It's called Lakeland, Florida, March, Sun and Fun.
I know. I keep heading the Florida way. Yes, I'll be down there soon enough. I'll be knocking on your door.
Hey, glad to have you. Pam, you guys going to have a presence at Sun and Fun this year?
We just talked about it yesterday, and it looks like we are going to start making steps towards that. We think it would be a great place to get to meet everybody and, you know, do a little bit of advertising and have some fun with all of our fellow enthusiasts in aviation. Well, I must say, Linda, I've gone through your website. I had the opportunity to sit down and go through some of this stuff. I'm quite impressed on what you do for the young ladies of our world. Thank you very much, and thank you for your services, being out there and helping protect our country. I do appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, and I admire you for turning flight instructor job into a flight school. That's a huge step. So the fact that you're still getting it all together and continuing on, that's quite an achievement.
Well, thanks. Yeah, it was an uphill battle when I started my flight school. I actually lost everything when we had a group of hurricanes come through here, and that's when I merged with the Ocean Helicopters. So it was an uphill battle, but it has been worth every single blood, sweat, and tears that I have put into it, and I love it. You know, I keep saying, oh, I want to go out maybe and do a commercial job or something, but keeps pulling me right back in. I love the flight training. I love my students. I just love being part of seeing that these people are going to be our future pilots.
And that is going to wrap our interview today. Linda Meeks, my co-hostess, is pilot, ATP, CFI, and also founder of GirlsWithWings.com, an organization dedicated to getting young girls involved in a life of aviation. Pam Landis is a helicopter instructor, vice president in charge of Ocean Helicopters, based out of North County Airport in Palm Beach County, Florida. We had a lot of great information on today's interview. In fact, too much information for our allotted time. If you would like to listen to this interview in its entirety, please go to daveshellbetter.libsyn.com and look for Pam Landis Ocean Helicopters post for the Managing Safety Radio Show. I'm Dave Shellbetter of Sun and Fun Radio.
We hope you've enjoyed today's Managing Safety, brought to you by the FAA Production Studios, a joint effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and the FAA Safety Team. Please visit our studio website at faaproductionstudios.com to hear past programs.